The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And technical difficulties have forced us to not have any opening music.
Oh, well, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
But
to,
hey.
to the internet problem.
Yeah. But we're back. We were in Hawaii.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
So we've been running some reruns for the past couple weeks.
And, yeah.
The middle of November through the beginning of January is usually a pretty tough time to get things done.
Yeah, it gets really compacted.
But
this is
our one new show for a while.
Yeah, so we're back today, and then we're going to be out again until January 8th.
Yes, and
we'll return with new episodes.
Yeah, no reruns either. They're replacing our show for a few weeks to give us a full break.
Yeah, we will be off the air, but we will be back, and we will have time to have watched some stuff, so we'll have all kinds of new stuff to talk about, new old stuff to talk about.
Well, what's today's topic?
Well, today's topic was inspired by our trip.
Uh-huh.
And so, as we discussed on an earlier episode, we recently went to Maui for the first time and was amazing. And one of the places that we ate there was called the Cool Cat Cafe. And it was kind of a 50s themed retro restaurant. And they had a big newspaper framed article about the day the music died. And so we kind of started talking about that, and you had mentioned, you know, all the movies made about the people who were on that plane, none of which I had seen. And so that inspired us to watch some musician biopics.
There you go. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we've watched some. I've seen all of the movies that we are going to discuss, but a lot of this was all new for you, wasn't it?
I was behind. I had not seen any of these movies. I think I had seen a little bit of La Bamba, but I had never actually watched the whole thing. So that, which, spoiler alert, was my favorite of the ones we watched.
Yeah.
So, but let's talk about the first one we watched, which was the Buddy Holly story.
Okay.
And it was weird. Like, I feel like it was just an extended music video.
Well, it's Gary Busey.
Who did a really good job.
1978, Gary Busey.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Gary Busey is probably best known for being Gary Busey.
Yes, it's true. When you look at his IMDb page, a majority of it is as Gary Busey. Like, he's played himself in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows. He's just him.
But this movie was, it's a little bit of a, on viewing it now, it's a little bit of a sleeper. I think nowadays, like with the Queen biopic and everything, they've taken a lot of liberties telling stories now, so they're a little more fantastic.
Yeah, this one, I mean, Gary Busey does the singing, which is very impressive. He does a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Buddy Holly very well. It's endearing. But I don't think there was enough real story of Buddy Holly to justify the Buddy Holly story, which is the title of the movie. Because most of the movie was just him playing full songs, like full concerts were
well,
in this
the last,
movie.
It's like the last 15 minutes of the movie is him at his last performance,
mm-hmm.
and they sing like three or four songs in their entirety.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of showing the ending, it's just him singing those songs, and that's where it ends. And with the title card on it saying about, you know, how he died in the plane crash that later that night.
Yeah, it freeze framed and later that night he died. And then black credits. I'm like, really? They're not going to show? Like, they were kind of building up to show the reaction. So his wife is at home pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that his wife was pregnant at the time he died. That's really, really sad. And his old bandmates had come into town because they had, like, had a falling out, but they wanted to tour with him again. And she told him, oh yeah, he's going to be so excited to see you. And oh, we'll go fly up and meet him at his next tour stop, and we'll meet up with him. And she said, oh, he'll love that. So I kind of expected them to show a reaction of these people finding out. Nothing.
But Gary Busey is surprisingly good.
He's very good.
It was an interesting choice for them to make him be the actual singer of Buddy Holly songs and the Buddy Holly, instead of it just dubbing over Buddy Holly recordings.
Yeah, he re-recorded all the music, and he sounded good. Mm-hmm. So this movie really showcases that Gary Busey can sing. Do you know if he was playing his own guitar? Like if he was?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But he reminded me a lot of Eddie Redmayne.
Mm-hmm.
Like watching this movie, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's reminding me of someone. Who is it? And then I realized it's because we just saw Fantastic Beasts, and just the way he holds his head is very reminiscent of the way Eddie Redmayne plays Newt Scamander. And so if they were to remake the Buddy Holly movie or remake any movie focusing on Buddy Holly, I think Eddie Redmayne would be a wonderful choice to play him. I don't know if he can sing, but he'd at least look the part.
Well, you don't have to if you're, the Queen biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. Rami Malek didn't sing any of it. It was all dubs.
Yeah. But, I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. It just wasn't that interesting.
Gary Busey was 33 when he played Buddy Holly, who died at age 22.
He was 22?
Mm-hmm.
This plane crash just keeps getting sadder and sadder. Like, I know it was a very long time ago, and there's an epic song about it, but it's just, it's so sad. It's real interesting to think what these musicians could have done.
So the
like
actors,
how far they could have gone.
Yeah, so the actors did their own singing and played their own instruments live during the filming of the production numbers.
That's very impressive.
This included the film's main players, Gary Busey, Don Stroud, and Charles Martin Smith.
That is very impressive. So I will give them that I don't really blame the filmmakers for focusing on that because they did a fantastic job. But the movie was kind of slow to get started. And then it was almost like they were trying to make it more dramatic than it really was, but weren't really willing to make up stuff. So they just had people overreact to things. I don't know. It was fine. It was fine. It was just not my favorite of the movies. So after that one, we watched La Bamba.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, I cried so much.
Yeah.
This movie is so good. So good and will tug on your heartstrings. And I did not realize that Richie Valens was 17 when he died. He looks like a 40-year-old man.
He does.
Like, he does not look 17.
Yeah, go look up pictures of Richie Valens. Google it and, yeah.
He does not, like, I buy that Lou Diamond Phillips looks 17, and he was 25.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the main pictures of Richie Valens, I did not realize he was a teenager when he died.
Well, the interesting thing about La Bamba, the movie, is whereas with Buddy Holly, all of the original, or all of the actors sung and played their own instruments to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In La Bamba, they don't dub in Lou Diamond Phillips, and they don't put it, but they don't put Richie Valens' music in either. It's all re-recorded by Los Lobos,
who make a cameo in the movie. They're a band that plays at one of the parties.
And that's Bordella,
and they play a traditional version of the song La Bamba, which gives Richie the idea that he should re-record it. And I also didn't realize he didn't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, and when he was telling his producer that he wanted to do La Bamba, that he's like, but you don't even speak the language. Why would we do that? He's like, no, but it's important. And that's the way
Matt
I sing
King
it.
If Matt King Cole can sing in Spanish, so can I.
Yeah. I was like, wow. Like, I learned so much about, and Lou Diamond Phillips does such a good job in this movie. But part of the heartbreak is very dissimilar to the Buddy Holly story, is this one shows him, so he flipped a coin to get on that plane because him and one of the other people on the tour were both sick, And rather than make them travel by bus in the middle of the winter, they decided to flip the coin to see who would be on the plane so that they could sleep in a nice warm bed that night. And so he flipped a coin to get on the plane. It shows him flipping the coin, getting on the plane, and then that's it. And then you see his mom finding out, his girlfriend finding out, his brother finding out. They found out on the radio. Like, they heard about it on the radio. How heartbreaking is that?
Mm-hmm.
So you have the fact that this movie is heartbreaking because you see the heartbreak of this family. But then when you read the IMDb trivia, as everyone should know I do, it makes it worse.
According to Lou Diamond Phillips in the VH1 documentary Behind the Music, The Day the Music Died, Richie Valens' sister was on the set the day they shot the coin toss scene, in which Richie wins the chance to fly on the plane with Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper. Richie's sister began to weep uncontrollably during shooting. When Phillips tried to console her, she hugged him and sobbed, "Why, Richie? Why did you get on the plane?"
Oh my gosh, that's just so heartbreaking. And it goes on to say that the family was very involved.
Yeah. Richie Valens' family was so attached to Lou Diamond Phillips that when he was shooting the scene where Valens gets on the plane that led him to his death, the family begged Phillips not to get on, fearing that he would die. The family was warned not to come to the filming that day that they filmed him getting on the plane, but his sister ignored this and drove to the set anyways. She cried, hugged, and begged him not to get on the plane.
I'm going to start crying now. Like, it was so sad. And so the movie opens with a plane crash, but it's not his. It shows two planes colliding in the air. And it's a true story that when he was younger, his grandfather had passed, and so he was at his grandfather's funeral. And while he was out of school, two planes crashed into each other over his school. The debris fell on the playground and killed some of the children at the school that he was supposed to be at.
Yeah,
but he wasn't there.
Yeah, the plane crash at Richie Valens' school happened on January 31st, 1957. A DC-7 and an F-89 jet collided and broke up in the midair. The DC-7 landed on the playground of Pocahima Junior High School, now Pocahima Middle School, while students were outside at recess. Everyone on the DC-7 was killed. Several students died on the playground. 75 were injured. Valens was out of school that day attending his grandfather's funeral. The crash caused Valens' fear of flying.
Yeah, so he didn't want to get on the plane to begin with, and the whole thing is so sad. But this is another... Everyone does such a good job in this movie. I mean, he does wonderful. The guy who plays his brother, Isai Morales, does a great job of playing Bob. Bob Morales. And it's just such a fantastic movie. And I'm so kind of disappointed in myself that I never had actually watched it before, but so glad that I did now. It's a really good movie, even though it left me in tears.
Well,
it was a good movie.
His brother he's relatable and you relate to him. You feel for him. He's an empathetic character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he spent time in prison, came out, and wanted to just get a better life, and was a really talented artist, according, you know, watching the movie, and it's just really disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Bopper and Waylon Jennings, who was Buddy Holly's bass player at the time, traded seats. The Big Bopper got on the plane. Waylon took the bus. Before the plane took off, Buddy said to Waylon, "I hope you freeze your butt off on that bus." Waylon responded jokingly, "Well, I hope your plane crashes." That remark haunted Waylon for years.
Can you imagine having said that to a friend? And, oh, no, this is all just way too sad.
Yeah.
All way too sad.
That's why it's an interesting that, I mean, you know, all of them make for very interesting stories, and they
mm-hmm.
it's like a weird little trilogy, but they've never actually made a movie about the Big Bopper, who was actually a very interesting person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know he was a musician. He did Chantilly Lace, but I think he was more known as a DJ, wasn't he?
I believe so. And producer and stuff.
Yeah.
He did a lot of stuff. He was really talented. He's the one that pretty much invented music video.
All right, Hollywood, you need to close this circle. Give us a Big Bopper movie so that we can, you know, be at peace.
Yeah, if you can give us half the movies that you're giving us now, you can give us this.
Right. I mean, you're giving us a lot of biopics. Just one more. Just, you know, make the plane equitable and give it to everybody.
But yeah, the Los Lobos, it's funny if I remember right. I'll have to check into this, but not only was La Bamba number one for Richie Valens, but La Bamba, I believe, became number one for Los Lobos.
As a cover for the movie?
As a cover for the movie, yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Oh, just, but yeah, so if you haven't seen that movie, be prepared to cry. Have some tissue, but also know that it's a really well-made movie. And they handle the end of it very well. Like, I kind of felt like the Buddy Holly story just kind of glossed over it. You know, here's him singing, and then he died. But, like, you don't really get much. Like, I didn't feel emotional. And La Bamba was the exact opposite. Like, the Buddy Holly story almost felt like a documentary versus the drama of La Bamba.
Yeah. But La Bamba gave you everything you kind of wanted.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Richie was such a happy-go-lucky kid. Like, he grew up poor, and his guitar was, you know, he didn't have a strap for his guitar. It was on a rope. And his amp he had to dig out of the trash after someone else threw it away. And then he was able to buy his mom a house. And it's just, and he had such a good nature, and it was so sweet.
So Pixar was probably trying to get La Bamba, and they got Coco instead.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Coco. Book of Life is better.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely recommend that movie.
Yeah.
Hey, we have music again.
I'm trying. All right, so we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll discuss even more movies.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss Great Balls of Fire from Jerry Lee Lewis, because he cray.
He cray.
Yes. All right, so you are listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we'll be right back.
We're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia.
Tis the season to light up the holidays. Let's do this.
Redding Kia has great sale prices on their award-winning lineup of SUVs. And with no payments until after the new year.
Wrap it, put a bow on it, and put that new all-wheel drive 2019 Kia Sorento under your tree.
That's a great idea.
You know, that winter driving can be a little tricky, but not in a super affordable 2019 Kia Sportage. It's all-wheel drive, and for those really challenging weather conditions, you can lock it into true four-wheel drive for extra traction and safety.
That's a really great idea.
You can do that in a Sorento, too.
And remember, every new Kia comes with America's best warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations.
So light up the holidays, make a great deal, and drive home happy with a new SUV from Redding Kia.
And as the marketing director for Redding Kia, I can assure you nobody does it better.
Redding Kia, Cypress Avenue, RedingKia.com.
The Light Up the Holidays sales event ends January 2nd, 2019.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Join us at Turtle Bay Exploration Park for incredible inventions now through January 4th. Follow in the footsteps of famous inventors like the great Leonardo da Vinci and Archimedes through 50 interactive exhibits, great for all ages. Incredible Inventions is organized by Artisans of Florence and is presented by Five Star Bank in Redding Rancheria with support by Shasta Pathology Associates and Dutch Bros Coffee, the Reznor family. Incredible Inventions is included with park admission and always free for members. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Celebrate the season with your favorite holiday songs. Under the Street Lamp, Hip to the Holidays. Saturday, December 22nd, Reading Civic Auditorium. Under the Street Lamp. Cast members of Jersey Boys performing holiday classics and songs from the Great American Songbook. Tickets are on sale now. Buy tickets at ReadingCivic.com, the Reading Civic box office, or call 530-229-0022. Saturday, December 22nd, Reading Civic Auditorium. More at UnderTheStreetLamp.com. Under the Street Lamp. Hip to the holidays.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we've been talking about musical biopics.
Yeah, we started out with The Day the Music Died,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, thank you for American Pie.
Yes.
But the only good thing to come out of that, which would have been Sacrifice. Anyway, now we're going to move on to more music biopics about, but unrelated people.
Yeah, it doesn't have to do with that fateful plane crash.
Because as we talked about, the Big Bopper does not have his own movie.
In fact, this movie that we're going to talk about is the only one that's about somebody who is still alive.
Which is interesting that I don't know. I feel like it's weird to have a movie made of your life while you're still living it.
Well, it would almost happen that way for actually the next two after this, Ray Charles died, I think, right before the movie came out, but he was there for all of the filming.
Oh, really?
And I thought that Walk the Line came out before Cash passed.
Wait, did Johnny Cash pass?
Yes.
Why did I think he was still alive?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
So, the next one we're going to talk about is called Great Balls of Fire.
I didn't even know this was a movie.
This is an amazing movie.
So, I was super way far behind on this movie because I didn't even know it existed. But it is the story of Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Dennis Quaid.
Amazingly by Dennis Quaid.
I love Dennis Quaid, but oh my gosh, he did a really good job in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, real good.
Yeah.
Real good. This is a weird movie.
It's weird just because Jerry Lee Lewis is kind of a weird guy. I can't believe that his cousin is Jimmy Swaggart.
I still don't know who that is. I'm behind.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's a televangelist who got... Jerry Lee Lewis. Jimmy Swaggart is a televangelist who had quite a few prostitution sex scandals.
Ooh.
And he's famously known for coming out crying, I have sinned so much. And he's, yeah.
Hmm.
So the very southern, very televangelistic, I have sinned.
Played by Alec Baldwin.
Right.
In this movie.
Which, that was probably the least believable part of the movie. was it Alec Baldwin? I love Alec Baldwin, don't get me wrong, but like I didn't buy him as Jimmy Swaggart.
Well, what was so interesting too is that this movie came out in 88, right?
89, I believe.
89 and 89, and then Beetlejuice came out,
I believe, in 88.
In 88. And Alec Baldwin looks so much younger in Beetlejuice than he does in this movie, in Great Balls of Fire. So that year, I don't know what happened to Alec Baldwin between 1988 and 1989, but it aged him a lot. I mean, it could be makeup, too.
I
know, you know, makeup, whatever, but he just, like, his whole body just seemed so... Different. It was real interesting. And other similarity between this and Beetlejuice is Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
And the fact that people want to marry a teenage Winona Ryder. And it's weird. And
so,
it's uncomfortable.
So Jerry Lee Lewis hated both this film and his ex-wife, Myra, who the character.
Played by Winona.
Yeah. Myra Lewis's autobiographical book, which was a source. Linda Gale Lewis, Jerry Lee Lewis's sister, also thought the film was a poor and unjustified version of the real Jerry. The book's co-author, Murray Silver Jr., was outraged by the film, which he thought departed from the book or the truth. Silver made several criticisms, such as the movie was phony. Director Jim McBride admitted that it was never his intention to tie his film to the facts and stated the movie does not represent itself in any way to be a historical documentary. We use the book as a jumping-off point.
Okay, so in my humble opinion, the worst part about, like, the worst part of Jerry Lee Lewis as a person in this movie, like, the thing that makes him look the worst is the fact that he, as a early 20s individual, marries his 13-year-old cousin.
And you know what? I'm gonna gloss over the fact, and I don't think I need to, but I'm glossing over the fact that it's a cousin.
Right.
The fact that she's 13 is the part that's just like, are you kidding me?
So this
and they do a really good job in the movie of making you feel very uncomfortable about the fact that she's 13.
Yeah. So this is the worst this is the worst part of him in the movie, and it's fact. Like, they didn't make that up for the movie's sake. He did that thing. He married his 13-year-old cousin. That's not okay at all. And so I don't really think that his personality for the rest of the movie was, like, vilified. Like, yeah, he got drunk and upset when his career tanked, but his career tanked because he married his 13-year-old cousin. Come on. Just don't do that.
And they really play it up, too. So if it'll make you feel any better about the actors themselves, Dennis Quaid was 34 at the time,
mm-hmm.
and Winona Ryder was 18. So the actors are okay. It's not, but like the characters, the real people that they're portraying, that is so weird. And so she kept talking about how she's 13, and I'm not gonna be a good housewife because I'm 13. And I'm just like, and you're like,
stop saying it.
Yeah,
you're not helping.
And the dad, however, had the right reactions, but not the best follow through.
So. Her father, first of all, they're not first cousins. That doesn't make it easier, but he is first cousins with her father, and then, you know, there's her. So I don't know if that's a second cousin or a first cousin once removed. Cousins get a little difficult. But he's a bass player for the band. He plays bass with Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis lives in his house. He was supposed to keep an eye on him because the producers thought he was he's a wild child. He says it in his songs. And so his producers thought it would be safer if he lived with family. Whoops.
Whoops indeed.
That didn't work. But yeah, so when he finds out, and they found out by finding the marriage certificate in her room while they're cleaning one day. And so he grabs a handgun and goes down to the studio. I'm going to kill him. Yeah. If you find out that your 20-something-year-old cousin just married your 13-year-old daughter, yeah, I would. That's an understandable reaction.
And they point out the fact that they're all making a lot of money, so dad has to get on board.
And dad stayed with the band. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? No. Just leave the band. Leave the band. It was weird. Like, I didn't hate the movie. It was weird, and they didn't make it overly uncomfortable. Like. It was watchable.
It was watchable, yeah.
It was watchable. And Dennis Quaid does a really good job.
It wasn't uncomfortable to the point that if you watch it, you're going to feel uncomfortable of people knowing that you've watched the movie.
Yes. I mean, there's some movies you don't want people to know you've watched. This isn't one of them.
Yeah. No,
this one's fine.
Yeah, it's just the whole situation was just weird.
Yeah, it was
weird. And, you know, still not the weirdest part about Jerry Lee Lewis's marital status.
Yeah. All right. So this guy evidently does not believe in dating because he's been married 7 times. And usually, at least for the first 4, he marries one before he's divorced from another. So he married his first wife, and then he married his second wife, found out that he wasn't divorced from the first wife yet.
So it doesn't count.
So then he married Myra. And then he had to marry her again.
Because his divorce from the second wife,
which
he thought didn't
yet.
Count, wasn't final.
And then
13 years after he divorced Myra, 13 years after they got... So you know how long you've been alive? That's how long you're going to be married.
Yes. So at the point that they got divorced was exactly... She had spent half her life with him. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so he's... I mean, and he's had wives who have... He has one wife who died... And just like he keeps
he had a wife and a child that both drowned,
that drowned
two
yeah.
different dead two different times,
mm-hmm.
and another son that died in an automobile accident.
Yeah, his oldest, Jerry Lee Lewis
Jr. And then he names his other kid later on Jerry Lee Lewis III. We're like, that's not how that works.
No, whatever. Yeah, weird dude. But you know, he hated the film. However, he's in the film. So he didn't, Dennis Quaid was supposed to record the songs, but then Jerry Lee Lewis didn't want him to, so he re-recorded his own music.
I'll read the facts here. Jerry Lee Lewis re-recorded his songs for this film, which Dennis Quaid lip-syncs. At first, Quaid wanted to record his version of the songs over Lewis's objection, and did. Lewis was surprised at how good he was, and at one point it was proposed that Lewis do half the songs and Quaid half. When Quaid heard the new re-recordings done by Lewis, he changed his mind and agreed that all songs should be done by Lewis.
And, I mean, you know what? You got to give it to Jerry that he was able to re-record. I mean, they didn't just use original tracks. He re-recorded them. Mm-hmm. So this is his, I mean, how old was he by the time the movie came
54.
Out? So this 54-year-old man is recording songs that he did in his 20s, and mm-hmm. he sounds just as good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one song, and it was more of a kind of a slow ballady song that you could hear a little age on his voice. He was a little raspier, a little deeper.
I don't know for a fact, but that may have been made for the movie, because it was...
Either way, it's him singing, and his voice is, you can hear that it's a more matured voice. It's an older voice. But for the rest of the songs, like, you know, Great Balls of Fire and all of his old classics, they sound just as good. So kudos for his vocal agility in his 50s.
Well, I think Dennis Quaid is amazing in this. And
he really is.
He gives a great performance. And it's good that they got it because, honestly, originally, Martin Scorsese was going to make a Jerry Lee Lewis biopic starring Robert De Niro at one point.
What? No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. No. This one works. This one's very good. Well, he does a very good job in it. And the whole cast does really well. Like, the Winona is her weird little self.
Well, and she turned down the role that Julia Roberts had in Steel Magnolias to do this film.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she does a good job, and
would you prefer it with Sean Penn?
No.
Yeah, see? Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, no, Dennis Quaid was a good choice. Good choice. But weird movie. Weird guy.
Yeah.
Weird guy.
Yeah. And so, we realize that there's been quite a few biopics mm-hmm. about musicians.
They were real big in the late 80s, 90s era.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you had more current ones, like Ray.
Ray, yeah. Ray was really good. I think that's one of Jamie Foxx's best
performances.
He won an Oscar for that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just a beautiful, beautiful movie. And it's been a little while since I've seen that, but I have seen it. But it was really, really good. And then, I mean, we're kind of getting back into that swing. I mean, we just had Bohemian Rhapsody. Next year is Rocket Man.
Oh, I'm so excited for Rocket Man.
Oh, me too. And that one, Taron Egerton is doing his own vocals. But again, it's for a musician who's still alive. His story's not done. I think that's the main reason why I feel that it's weird to have a movie made about your life while you're still alive, unless it's a particular event that happens. But these are like life movies. You know, it's a story of this person. And
you're just leaving it open for the sequel.
Biopic should not have sequels. No.
Although
is that why they're making movies about living people, so that they can leave the door open for sequels? Ah, oh, Hollywood is so lazy.
Well, see, the thing is that there's some people who have such big personalities that it makes sense that you, like Elton John, it would make sense that you would break it up. Elton John, from the time he's in the 70s, in the 1970s, to the Elton John that's in the 1980s and the Elton John that's in the 90s, he's very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Each one could be its own thing. There's one biopic that, was it, the guy's so different that he's played by four different people, including one woman. It's Bob Dylan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's right. I haven't seen that one. We should watch that one.
I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah.
But, yes, Jamie Foxx won Best Actor for the movie Ray.
Okay. Yeah, because it was amazing. Mm-hmm. He did a really, really, really good job.
His was phenomenal, and Ray Charles loved him. For it, like he.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because on set they were. Yeah, he was there and everything. It's and Jamie Foxx does an amazing Ray Charles impression too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does really well. And Jamie Foxx is a weird guy. He's one of. Have we talked about the time we saw Jamie Foxx?
Probably not.
We went to the All-Star game when it was down in San Diego, which was amazing. We had gone to a lot of baseball games that year. I think that's the year that we went to over 20 Giants games. We were traveling a lot that summer. But we kind of capped it. Or no, I guess midway point. We went to the All-Star game in San Diego, and he was one of the celebrities that played in the celebrity game, which is super fun because they make the field little. Like, they bring in these barriers so that the outfield is only like 10 feet from the bases. And they play like softball, and it's like watching Little League, but it's adorable, and all the celebrities are adorable. And Terry Crews was there, and he was awesome, and he ripped off his shirt, and he made his pecs dance, and it was awesome. Jamie Foxx, though, had his own specialized cameraman who just followed him the entire time. Everyone else was, you know, on film, on camera, on the big screen, and broadcast on TV. But Jamie Foxx had a dedicated cameraman who followed him around, and he was crazy. He was acting so strange.
He was dating Katie Holmes at the time?
Apparently dating Katie Holmes makes you go crazy.
Yeah.
I love Katie Holmes. I love Katie Holmes.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about Katie. She seems like a lovely person, but apparently she makes the men she dates crazy. Like, I thought maybe he was on something. I don't know if he was high or if he's just weird, but he's a very good actor, so I will give him that.
Yeah. So, no, so there's some really interesting trivia about this movie. Like, at his request, the screenplay was translated into Braille for Ray Charles to read.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Jamie Foxx played the piano in all the scenes himself.
That's very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx had to wear eye prosthetics that really did make him blind for up to 14 hours a day during shooting.
Oh, dear Lord. Wow. That is dedication.
Mm-hmm. Ray Charles died of liver failure on June 10th of 2004 after filming had ended. He was able to sit through the first edit of the film before his death.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx attended classes at the Braille Institute in order to help him play the role of Ray Charles.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Hackford says on his commentary that he made the decision to end the film in the middle of Ray's life because his latter life consisted of no conflict, only success.
Huh. Okay. So it wouldn't have made a very interesting movie?
Yeah. No studio was interested in backing the film. The film was then shot independently, and once it was completed, Universal stepped in to distribute it. Part of the reason Universal released it was because one of the executives of the studio used to hitchhike to Hollywood to watch Ray Charles concerts.
Aww. Those are nice stories. I bet they're kicking themselves now for not wanting to pick that up.
Mm-hmm. You mean because it won Best Actor and Best Sound Mixing? It was actually nominated for Best Picture. It didn't win, but
yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that it was nominated. But at least he won for that performance because it really was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was interesting. Jamie Foxx studied Ray Charles to better mimic him.
Mm-hmm.
But after a few weeks, he stopped visiting Charles, saying that a 73-year-old Ray Charles couldn't help him portray the same man from ages 19 to 49.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the way you move and the way you act in your 70s is very different from your 20s.
Yeah. So, we'll take another break, and we'll talk about a few more movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get to that just after the break. So stick with us. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And you are listening to We're a Little Behind.
And you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my wheel, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Paint Marts have been locally owned and operated since 1967, proudly serving our community for over 50 years with the ultimate service, prices, and quality in paints, stains, wall coverings, automotive finishes, and project planners. Please visit us at Paint Marts located at 2330 Larkspur Lane off Hilltop. That's two doors down from Lee's Honda. And happy holidays to our military, both veterans and active duty during this joyous season.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Celebrate the season with your favorite holiday songs. Under the Street Lamp, Hip to the Holidays. Saturday, December 22nd, Reading Civic Auditorium. Under the Street Lamp. Cast members of Jersey Boys performing holiday classics and songs from the Great American Songbook. Tickets are on sale now. Buy tickets at ReadingCivic.com. The Reading Civic box office or call 530-229-0022. Saturday, December 22nd, Reading Civic Auditorium. More at UnderTheStreetLamp.com. Under the Street Lamp. Hip to the holidays.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we've been talking about music biopics.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody pronounces it biopic, and I'm like, no, that's wrong.
Biopic? No. No, biopic.
Biopic.
It's a biographical
picture
show.
Yes. So, biopic. And as you can tell by this song,
very, very easy to be true.
The infamous and one and only Johnny Cash had his own movie.
He did.
Called Walk the Line.
I'm still behind. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Walk the Line?
I have not. I've only
Reese
seen...
Reese Witherspoon as June Carter? What? You haven't seen this?
I've only seen the parody, which is Walk Hard.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a bit. Walk the Line is a great movie, starring Joaquin Phoenix as Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
And Reese Witherspoon is June Carter.
Yeah.
And their story's adorable, and he's a serious guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, his drug use and all that, like, but yeah.
Prison time.
Well, he didn't do prison time. Well, I guess he did, but he felt that the prisoners needed, so yeah, he went and performed for prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Like a cool guy.
He is a cool guy. Was a cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a really good one. There's I don't know. It brought a lot of attention to Johnny Cash, especially around that time. Because I mean, he was always counted more of a country artist than like a rock and roll artist,
right?
And so the last song he did, "Hurt," which was a cover of a Nine Inch Nails song.
Okay, so right there is a weird thing to think about. That Johnny Cash covered a Nine Inch Nails song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like it would naturally go the other way around, you know, because there's alternative and rock, you know, heavy metal bands that do covers of older songs. But he actually did the cover of their song, and it is one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. It is so amazing.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus
on the pain. The only thing that's real. The needle tears the hole. The old familiar sting. Try to kill it.
Yeah, oh, Nine Inch Nails.
So
song.
Beautiful.
And yeah, so it's awesome. And yeah, I don't know. It's not as good. Like, if I had to choose between the two, Ray is a superior film, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they came around the same time.
No,
Ray was 2004. This was 2005. And I don't know. I just think Ray was a better film personally. It was a more interesting story.
How did Joaquin do as Johnny?
Oh, he did. He did really good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, highly believable. And in fact, it says here that Johnny Cash approved Joaquin Phoenix to play him in the film because he liked his performance in Gladiator.
Nice.
And June Carter Cash also approved Reese Witherspoon for her role in the film.
Who doesn't want to be played by Reese Witherspoon? Reese Witherspoon is adorable. I'd be played by Reese Witherspoon. I'd okay that. You know, if they ever make a movie about our life.
Yeah.
But so, in all honesty, Jennifer Goodwin should play me. But
so.
But I wouldn't balk at Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. So Waylon Payne originally auditioned for the role of Waylon Jennings in this movie, and co-writer and director James Mangold was so impressed by Payne's audition that he cast Payne as Jerry Lee Lewis.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Interestingly enough, the actor who got the role of Waylon Jennings was Waylon's own son, Shooter Jennings.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I would hope that he would look more like his father than some random guy who just shared a name. You know, before we run out of time here, another really big biopic is, of course, Selena.
Yeah.
Which launched Jennifer Lopez's career.
Yes.
And that movie, I've seen that movie so many times, and I think it's just because it would randomly be playing on, like, TNT or something, and I would watch it. But it always strikes me, every time I see it, that the concert footage of her doing these huge arena shows, the people who are there are all unpaid extras who just were fans of Selena and wanted to be a part of the movie. And it's just so heartwarming to think of that. And her story is just so tragic, too. And, you know, with Buddy Holly and Big Bopper and Richie Valens, you know, their story is heartbreaking. And, you know, because it was this tragic accident that, you know, they still don't really know what happened on the plane, but there's no absolute way you can point to something and say, okay, well, this should have changed, and then this tragedy would have been avoided. But Selena was cut down, murdered by the president of her fan club. Like, that is so tragic that this completely avoidable circumstance, you know, it's really sad.
Yeah, it's, like, it could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's terrible. And, yeah, this is a really good movie. Everyone gives a good front. Unpopular opinion. I don't really care for a lot of things that Jennifer Lopez is in. Her singing, her acting, I'm just not a huge fan. This is probably my favorite thing.
Oh, this is absolutely by far the best thing she's ever done.
Yeah.
And it happens super early on, but it's absolutely one of the best things she's ever done.
To prepare for her role, Jennifer Lopez lived with Selena's family.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that these musicians' families are involved with these things, because I really think it lends to a little bit of authenticity about their story. And in fact, Selena is going to be coming back into the public forum, because Netflix just signed on a biopic limited series that is going to be about Selena and her life. And her family is involved and executive producers on the show.
Wow.
So it's going to be a scripted series about her and her life. So I think what it's going to be Selena the movie extended over episodes. So it's going to go a little deeper into a little more detail of her life and her career.
Maybe you can see the absolute craziness of her murderer, like,
yeah,
her grass, probably.
Yeah, you'll probably get a little more with that character. Around one of the first times I saw the movie, there was also a documentary I watched about it, which kind of delved in more into that woman's kind of psyche and her life and, you know, why she
was behind the
done.
Music stuff. I loved that series. Like they,
it may have been behind the music.
I wish they would do more of those.
Yeah.
Well, when Jennifer Lopez signed on to play Selena, she expected to be providing her own vocals. However, it was felt that since the movie would be released so soon after Selena's death, her fans would not approve of hearing any voice other than hers. So Lopez was coached to lip sync instead of being provided the vocal coaching she expected. Although she did sing the intro to Como La Flor in the Monterey concert scene.
Oh, that's nice. But yeah, that's one of the top musician movies, I think, because it's really well made. The whole cast, I mean, it's got Edward James Olmos in it, and he's fantastic as her father. So they're going to be bringing that around again.
Well, fun fact: Jennifer Lopez and Constance Marie play mother and daughter in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, they are only 4 years apart.
Oh my goodness!
Constance Marie is as we all know, is also the wife on the George Lopez show.
Oh, okay.
Who I believe is no relation to the Jennifer Lopez.
To the Jennifer Lopez, yeah.
The Lopezes just like to keep Constance Marie around.
I have a lot of people at work who will call me Jennifer Lopez because they remember it's some kind of Hispanic sounding name that ends with Mez. Like it's Gomez, but don't. Okay, as long as you remember, that's fine.
Well, Jennifer Lopez became the highest paid Latina woman in Hollywood history by playing Selena, earning a then unheard of $1 million.
Wow. And when did that movie come out?
97.
Whew. That's a big one. I mean, it was a huge movie. It was huge. Like the production of that was just gigantic. But yeah, it was really, really good. You know, all these movies did a really good job of, you know, capturing the music. And music is so important to so many people that, you know, we crave to know behind the music, you know, underneath the tunes, as the Canadians would say.
So, Selma Hayek was considered for the role of Selena, but refused because she wanted to play Frida Kahlo.
Mm-hmm.
And did not wish to play two different Mexican heroines.
Oh, okay. She didn't want to get typecast. I get it. I get it.
I am the history of Mexican women.
I mean, that would get a little difficult when looking for new roles, so I understand.
Although, it'd be weird now who's going to play Selma Hayek.
That's true.
Ah. Selena Gomez. Comes full circle, Selena.
All right, well, make sure that you check us out at GomezCast.com and hear our episodes wherever you find podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. We're everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Follow us on Facebook. We're a little behind. Give us a like. Give us a follow. And enjoy your holidays. Like we said, we will be back on January 8th.
Yes.
With all new episodes, with a whole bunch of stuff to talk about.
Because I got to be out of town on business next week, which is December 18th. And then 1 week after that, all the holidays fall on Tuesday. So
yeah.
Christmas fell on Tuesday. New Year's Day fell on Tuesday. So we're just like, you know what? We're going to take a break. So don't try not to freak out. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Don't think that the show got canceled.
But if you miss us, hit up our podcast and listen to some past episodes.
Yeah.
And we'll be back before you know it.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we didn't talk about very much, and we'll just kind of talk about it, is Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a biopic about a musician, which is completely fake.
Right. It's fake. Played by John C. Reilly, who I love.
And Jenna Fisher.
And Jenna Fisher plays the June Carter character. Oh, I love that movie. It's silly, and it's stupid, and but it's great. And John C. Reilly, I love his work when he's not with Will Ferrell. And I feel bad, but I don't really like his movies with Will Ferrell. And I don't have anything against Will. I like his movies better when he's on his own, especially Chicago. He was amazing in Chicago.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that does it for our show.
All right. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we will see you in 2019.
2019?
2019.
Man. Well, yeah. Thank you for joining us all year.
Yeah.
We'll do it all again next year.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Yes. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
You've been listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
Lose my heart tonight if you The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.